Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, welcome to Full Time Devils. We are back with another podcast today. I have got Gaz in
this
the building.
This is exciting, isn't it?
We've got Jay and we've got Abdullah. Sorry to cut you off there,
Gaz. I've never done a podcast before. Done plenty of radio shows, never a podcast.
This is your debut.
What's the
first
difference?
Ever
podcast. Pretty much a radio show. It's basically the things that killed radio, isn't it, Gaz? Podcasts. Ooh.
It's a very good point, actually. Is this the reason
we're
not getting any work anymore?
It's wow. This. You're on the dark side, Gaz. You have some explaining to do to your bosses.
YouTube knobheads.
I have been. Gaz is the kind of guy that should have a podcast. I've told you for so long, Gaz, you should have a podcast.
It's just right, the effort of making it, and then you've got a load of mates. Say you've got a load of mates round. What if it's shit?
It's like.
What if it's shit? You look what at if like, you do it and no one
the whole
listens?
I have a podcast.
Yeah.
Statman Dave has a podcast. I guess D has a podcast. The one with talent has no podcast.
I just don't think that anyone gives a shit about what I have to talk about unless we're talking about footy like we're
doing. No, but the thing is, the whole point of podcasts is that you're just talking shit. Like, there's loads of ones where you just get together with
isn't
your mates.
Isn't that the whole point of Full Time Devils?
I'd have to get drunk.
Yeah, but like, about football, we make up things about football, but yeah, we just talk
it certainly
shit.
Is now.
Yeah.
I'd have to get intoxicated in some way.
Have right. You brought anything
podcast.
With you to
get
intoxicated?
Get a podcast out
not today.
Give the people what
next time. I'm driving.
Well, you don't need Gaz's podcast because he's going to be on our podcast, the Full Time Devils podcast, and you can find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, and you can't find us on iTunes yet because they keep rejecting the submission I make. I don't get it.
I think it's because it's you making it, mate. I'll give it a go tonight.
We'll pass it on to someone that's got sense. iTunes saw Andy Tate in the title. Come on, for God's sake, no.
Forget that.
After the app.
We were considering getting Andy Tate to record us some jingles at work, you know.
Listen, don't be stealing our talent, yeah.
I can already steal all your content, so I might as well start stealing your talent as well.
What content have you nicked for?
We've basically. Oh, do you remember that last video where I randomly said the word stegosaurus just out of nowhere? I think I said like Chris Smalling has got the diet of a stegosaurus. That's right. Because we have a game at work where we see which words I can get into Full Time Devils videos. So if you're ever watching a Full Time Devils video and you hear me say something mental, which let's face it, most videos, it's because I've been dared to do it.
So when people are coming on for in-depth football analysis.
Yes.
Gaz is just chucking words of stegosaurus at you.
If this is a channel for in-depth football analysis, why am I even here? Just a football fan, mate.
You're not advertising
just
the channel.
Just a football fan.
Well,
I'm not a pundit. I'm not a pundit, though. That's saying it.
I loved that the other day. We had a comment saying, on a Wes Brown video saying, can you just speak to fans, please?
I mean, it could be better speaking to a fan and the next player, you know? You get a bit of both. But yeah, just speak to fans.
And it's a Manchester United fan.
I
remember in the day.
That's another good point. He is a Manchester United fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because he played for us doesn't make him not.
And I love the fact that when we was scraping the barrel and could never get a Manchester United player on a video. Why don't you do player videos?
Chucky and Tomo went away. He went to Norway. He met this City fan. And he was going on about United fans aren't dedicated. And Tomo pointed at Chucky and went, he never missed a game. He didn't miss a game, United game, for 9 years. And he went, that's a load of bollocks. You know where you didn't miss a United game for 9 years. And someone said, it's Brian McClair, mate. And he was like, oh, I was a massive fan of yours.
I love that. I love that. He scored.
That's the shit I do, though. That's the shit I do.
He scored 30 goals in one season, 1 year. Or was it more than
that? Yeah, no, he did. He was the first player since George Best to score over 20 goals in a season.
And since then, we've only had Van Nistelrooy, Ronaldo, Rooney, and Van Persie do it. Yeah.
Nah, someone recently did it.
Nah, they came close.
Zlatan and Lukaku came close.
York got 29, yeah, 20,
20, 29.
York and Cole both got 29. Yeah. Or is it 26?
26.
They got 26 that year.
Right. What's the one that I found out recently that this is the first time since, I think it's 99, maybe earlier than
I noticed
four
that. Yeah,
United
you say
players
it.
Have scored yeah, 10 or more 10 goals in a
league,
season.
In the league.
In the league this season.
I think
season.
It was since 96.
96 it might be, yeah.
Gaz has turned into Statman Dave.
I just heard it.
See, you've got no inside knowledge. There you go.
There you go,
that's
Gaz.
Quite an interesting one, though.
We know why we brought you this week.
There we go.
Just for yeah. that bit of...
It's mad, though, isn't it? Because you got that stat, and people are still moaning about those players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not good enough and all the rest of it.
I think it's... You've got to take into consideration that we played, look, I know Jose fans out there are going to slot, but they played for Jose Mourinho for half a season where we didn't have the best of season. And that's why I kind of feel sorry for Ali at this moment in time, because yes, he can do things differently and we should be doing better against Wolves and so on. But people are almost, oh, United are sixth, Ali's, you know, the wheels are falling, but it's like, we wouldn't even have a chance of top four
to be fair,
for him coming in.
To be fair, like the reaction after Arsenal was a lot worse in a way than the recent Wolves one. A lot of people, like, they're reacting to more of what the board could have done, the players that have stuck around.
Mm.
And I like that, because usually our fans are like, going more for the manager could have done this. Because what Ollie could have done compared to the Wolves game previously was change up the system. He come into this game, played more of like a 4-4-2. He had Jesse and Ron play off each other. They missed their chances in the game. Our players didn't put them away. You got Chris Smalling slipping all over the shop. You know, I don't know who's allowed him on that pitch, but he was shocking that night. Overall, I think Chris Smalling should actually stick around in the squad, because in certain games, when you're coming up against a big striker and he's not got to play with the ball too much, and, you know, it's what a team like Brighton or something like Glenn Murray that he needs to deal with, it might work, but... Overall, like, if you look at the first Wolves game, I was just thinking, imagine having Koulibaly there. When you look at him for Napoli, picks the ball up and just like goes forward, and then he drags the whole team forward. And we didn't have that in the first game against Wolves. We're almost just like waiting for someone to bring the ball forward, and you already got that in Lindelof. So both strikers were on Lindelof and just allowing Smalling the ball. And the quality compared with Smalling and the rest of like the top four, I'd say. Not, you know, Arsenal, obviously they're getting into the top four, but Arsenal haven't got those top centre backs. The quality is different, man. It's absolutely different.
Do you think? I don't agree with that. I don't think it's Smalling's fault. I don't think it was Smalling's fault at all for the Wolves game. I thought the first one was Fred. Smalling didn't do anything wrong for the first goal. Fred loses it. Young plays everyone on side. The second one, I know Smalling's his own goal, but De Gea's got to do better there. De Gea and Jones, Smalling's got no chance with that. It's like the Alderweireld one against Liverpool the other day. I won't blame him for that. That's Lloris.
Mm.
You've got to be, you know, either clear it or catch it or do something. And he just sort of, him and Jones between him, didn't give Smalling much of a chance.
I'm not saying it was his fault
there,
for the goals.
Lindelof gets shoved off when the lad hits the bar as well.
Yeah.
So he didn't cover himself in glory.
Yeah,
I just think Smalling's an easy target. You know, I don't want to keep going on about Paris, but he was up against Mbappe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had a worldie. He did such
is
an
this,
amazing
Is this a segue to Abdullah?
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is,
where did you know Paris, every podcast or every video.
That night in Paris, when I went there.
My face agreement looks into my eyes.
Sorry. You did have some great pictures from that, innit?
There was, some good memories. But
I was in Paris, I wouldn't stop talking about it either.
You were in Moscow though.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, it's part of my password for everything, and has been for the last 11 years.
There you go.
That's how I just keep going on about it.
Thanks for letting the 20,000 people.
You won't be able to figure it out.
Mine is part. My the treble date is always part of mine.
Is it? Yeah, they're the numbers.
260599. That's not my password, so you have to remember the rest.
I'm going
to
try that.
It'll be like Adam first and then
that's definitely your security key on your online banking anyway, so I've got that at least.
No, it's not actually. It's close.
Thought you were just going to say it then.
Got no money anyway. Yeah. Come for me.
What were we on about then, Chris Smalling?
Well, yeah.
I feel sorry for Chris Smalling, mate.
I'm done with that.
I think Chris Smalling, yeah. We were saying it on the preview the other day. Imagine Chris Smalling as a third choice centre half. Oh, I'd be buzzing with that. Chris Smalling is a centre half.
That's what I'm saying. I'd still keep in the squad. A lot of people are being reactionary and saying, sell him this, that, after that one game.
But
my point is that in the last two Wolves games, I'm saying the difference between Laporte, Van Dijk, those centre-backs that bring the ball out and allow your team to play higher, allow the likes of Delo, if he's the right-back in that game, to push up and make the movement. Whereas like they just give, for example, Wolves are just allowing Smalling to have the ball. Mm. And he's not, defenders these days at the top level, when you look around Europe, they're breaking the lines, like they're bringing the ball forward and they're understanding the games a lot better. That's my point. There's a game for Smalling at Manchester United every season, and I'd keep him.
Okay.
I'm just saying his general play in that Wolves game. I'm not talking about the second goal. Should have probably done a bit better. Same as De Gea, same as Jones there. But I'm saying his general play, his reading of the game wasn't too great. They were getting around him too easily. And as soon as he comes up with those caliber of players, not like a Giroud or something, he struggles when it's not just a target man.
It's annoying, isn't it? Because against Watford, I thought that Smalling and Jones were the two best players on the park. I thought they played brilliant. Yeah. And I thought they were really playing for that joint testimonial, which is probably going to happen, isn't it? That Chris Smalling, Phil Jones joint testimonial is going to happen. I remember
saying on here that nobody would really turn up to their testimonials. Oh. And then 2 weeks later, Phil Jones kind of said the same in an interview.
Oh, yeah.
I felt sorry. Yeah. It was only my mum and dad would be there anyway. And it was
Chris Smalling would be all right. He'd let people bring the dogs, the sound. I'd go for it.
There'd be more people at his testimonial than there would be for City's FA Cup semi-final.
There would.
That's mad,
that,
innit? Yeah, I know it's a bit of a... I don't want to go start talking about City because they're having such a great season, but it's crazy that... I remember '99, you couldn't get a ticket.
No.
You know what I mean? '08, you couldn't get a ticket.
Any of the big games, like that last month, home or away,
it was like solid. Yeah. Because I used to have a membership at that time, and you'd have to fill in the pad and send it off and wait for the tickets to land on your doorstep. And it was difficult to get tickets, even for in 08. And these guys could do a quadruple, and we're seeing empty seats.
It's not even about comparing it to 99 and 08. Compare it to modern day Sunderland.
Yeah,
who are packing out their ground.
It's mad. They promote it on Twitter for like 20 quid.
I don't mind.
FA Cup site. You know, Wembley. 20 quid, mate.
Not going to Wembley.
I might go.
I get that. Just to go. Just a semi-final, because it is a day do. And I seldom do aways anymore because of the cost. I just do home.
And it shouldn't be at Wembley.
But I was watching the other night. I was flicking over, and even at home, in a must-win game, when you're playing the best football ever, and it's half empty, you just think that's what gets me. Is like you can't bother going.
But they've got the most fans in Manchester, though, isn't it? Biggest myth.
Right, back to the main topic. The BBC did an article today, Thursday. Wednesday the 3rd of April they did it. Today's Thursday. Manchester United could let as many as six players leave this summer as they prepare to back new boss Ole in the transfer market.
Okay.
Names mentioned, obviously uncertainty over the futures of Herrera, Mata and Sanchez, but I don't think they're including them as the six.
Oh, okay.
So what are the six players?
Oh, I thought you meant they'd actually list.
No, because look, it says here, Man United could let as many as six players leave this summer.
Right.
However, their plans are complicated by uncertainty over the futures of Herrera, Mata, and Sanchez.
Of that.
So it's almost like they want to let six go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But these three might go.
They wanted to keep them.
Yeah,
but them three want to go. Yeah. So, they're going to have to get rid of them. The Herrera one's mad, isn't it? This weekend, I remember, because obviously after all the rumours came out this weekend, I can't remember who I said it to. I hope it wasn't on Full Time Devils. But I said to someone, there is no way that Herrera will leave. And then now it's looking pretty much.
I thought last summer he was going. I thought he was always going.
Really?
Last summer, I actually thought he was going. It was just set up. I think three seasons, and I did a bit of like a thread about it on Twitter, and I was like, three seasons, none of the managers fancied him, and his quality was good enough to be in the side. There was games where you're like, this is made for Herrera, and he just wouldn't get in the team. Mm. And then he had like the likes of Fellaini, Matic, and like McTominay at times, he's been good for us recently, but all those three starting in midfield didn't have anything different. And then you're like, where's Herrera? If you're not starting Pogba, at least Herrera. And he's just, and then you look at Van Gaal as well. He, at times, he should have been ahead of Rooney in the side. He wasn't.
That was annoying.
It's just so frustrating that it never landed for him, and he's had a bit of a waste of time here, and I don't know if he's definitely going to be starting over the coming seasons, and that might play in his mind if PSG have promised him, you're going to come in, you're going to get this role as the experienced midfielder, we're going to stick you in that midfield, then that might be the reason he's gone. And it's unfortunate, he's one of my favourite players.
I think there could be something to do with, you look at his age, he's like approaching 30 years old. You look at, like, apparently he wanted 200k from United, and I think we're seeing a knock-on effect now from the Sanchez deal.
Definitely, yeah.
In kind of the money that... Because if Sanchez is worth 379k a week, then Herrera's definitely worth 200k a week, but Sanchez isn't worth that, so you can't give Herrera that. And then it's like...
Why?
It's affecting everything. And I think what you got to think about here is Herrera's approaching probably his last big contract, his last big deal. And this is how players think. Where can I get the best deal for myself? Am I going to win trophies at Manchester United? We've got to be honest. We're not that club that we once were, that we were guaranteed to win trophies. And I think a move to Paris Saint-Germain, for someone like Herrera, he has no ties to the club. It kind of makes sense for him.
Yeah.
But he get a guaranteed league title every season, so he sees his career out with trophies.
Yeah.
And he would stack some major P. I think if United were to offer him the money, he'd probably take it. But
I don't think it's the right thing anyways to be just dishing out the biggest contracts now, because we're just digging ourselves into a hole.
No, I find it, it's like Herrera's the weird one to start with.
I get you.
You have to start somewhere, but we've been handing out contracts to players that deserve less.
So if you didn't,
I agree with you, Mac. Yeah. I think it is the Sanchez thing. It's a knock-on effect. So if you're Herrera, you're looking at a player who plays less than you. Because Sanchez doesn't get in the team. Herrera does.
That's why it's annoying that he dictates.
And like you say, he's 29, isn't it?
That's what we're doing.
Last 28, 29. Last big deal. You know, it's a short career. And you think, it might even come down to principle. You think, I'm asking for 170, 180, and they're offering me two. They're offering me 170. It might just be that principle of, you know, I'm asking what I think I'm valued, and you're just refusing to give it me. You know, I'm not having it. And it is a shame, because I think Herrera... has been mentioned, hopefully we'll bring in another midfielder. I think we need to. And there's a chance he might not be a starter, but I think you need him in your squad.
If Herrera goes, I think you need three then rather than two.
Like much of our transfer policy, like what Abdullah was saying, you know, giving big contracts to some of the players that ultimately I don't think anyone would cry too much about if they did leave. And yet you've got a player that you want to keep. It's going to cost you, what, an extra 30k a week to keep him?
But I'm saying you could have subsidised that from the Jones situation. If you didn't re-sign Jones on that contract, which you're just going to be paying out, whilst he's actually had a good recent two games, but overall he's not going to be in that side.
I think it's unfair. Like, look,
I think
I'm not Phil Jones' massive fan. I'm not a massive fan of Phil Jones. I'm not a massive fan of Chris Smalling. But I feel it's unfair to, when one player's not getting the deal he wants, you then say, Smalling and Jones are going to accept whatever's put in front of them.
No, I'm not saying. It's not their fault that Herrera's not getting the deal. No, it's not the player's fault. What I'm saying is the board giving them that contract. It's the board's fault. They shouldn't have offered them that contract. If he's not. Look at it this way. If Twenzebe comes back,
how frustrating is it?
I don't think. Phil Jones and Smalling must be on what? 120.
It's not massive.
It's a lot of money
over the years.
That's not a big amount.
Yeah, Sanchez is the big one, of course. But
you know, I mean, you can argue.
It does have an effect.
No matter what the contract, you can argue. Look at how much the money the Glazers take out of the club. Do you know what I mean? We've got to go down that road. So it's like,
frustrating is it, right? We keep talking about Sanchez. How frustrating is it that he is dictating so much of what we have to spend at the minute, or it feels like we do, because he's dog shit. He is not. He cannot be at Manchester United beyond the
interesting
summer.
That you went for dog shit with Sanchez and all that.
Alexis, just get rid.
Whatever it's called.
Atom and Humber, aren't they? I actually follow that Instagram account. His dogs on that Instagram account are more entertaining than he is on a football pitch. You need to get rid of him this summer. It's not his fault.
Did anyone say, why are we getting him? I fucking didn't.
A lot of the players that we've signed that haven't worked out. Go on, guys.
It's not that I didn't question him. If someone said, do you think he's going to be good? I'd be like, yeah, I think he's going to be great. He's a great player. But in the back of my mind, it worried me that we were only signing him so City didn't get him. which is the only reason we signed him. Because we weren't even interested in him. If it was Juventus that were interested in him and not Man City, we wouldn't have gone anywhere.
See, I was buzzing. I was buzzing that we were signing him because I thought we missed something on the right and he's capable of playing on the right.
Yeah.
But if you look at the back end of him joining, Martial, he had, what games was it? I think it was Stoke, Everton, Burnley. Yeah. Three amazing games. I think that was like one of his best runs at Manchester United up there, definitely. And he comes in and then he takes Martial out the side. He tries to fit Jesse, Martial and Sanchez in the game against Spurs away. After that, it doesn't work. And it was almost a reason for him to take Tony out the team. And he took him out the team. And then that's it. Sanchez has to be playing his favourite position on the left. But we know that he's capable of playing on the right. That's it. Well, that's using properly.
But we've been saying that since he signed, haven't we? We've been saying that. We've been thinking he'd be put on the right-hand side. And everyone obviously went back to his Barcelona days and said he scored loads of goals there. And we just never saw it happen.
I think he's just done it. But we looked at it back end of his Arsenal career and everyone thought he's got the ump. That's why he's not playing well.
Yeah.
That's why he's not performing. But I think he's actually faded. He'd faded as a player. He wasn't the player
who was. Some theories about Alexis Sanchez, but I don't think this is the place for me to say it.
Even in form.
I told you. What? Nothing. Have I told you my theories on Alexis
Sanchez? Sexuality or anything like that.
Let's not move on.
Even in form. Even in form, Alexis Sanchez gives the ball away an awful lot.
This is the last time you're coming on this podcast. Wait a minute. I've got enough legal worries with him.
We got our title sorted, I think.
Look at his
Alexis Sanchez conspiracy.
He's always on his own or with his dog. Right, that's all I'm saying.
He's a dog lover.
That's because who's taking the pictures,
his boyfriend. I'm joking. It's nothing to do with that. Carry on.
And it wouldn't be anything wrong if he was. Right.
There's nothing wrong. I'm just saying, why to keep it quiet?
Go on, you were saying something that wasn't legally worrying.
I don't know. I was saying he's just finished.
He's gone in the summer. Gone. How much?
No, but is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. Well, we thought that about everyone else, didn't we?
If he goes, it's going to have to be one of them ones, a Football Manager, where you're paying half the wages for the rest of their contract. I read in Football Leaks that, and I know Jacob with a pinch of salt, but I read that he was on like 379k a week. And then he gets like 73 grand for every start. Probably why he hardly starts a game.
Is that fucking...
Because then if he's starting games, he's on like
460. It's the bonuses that's messing everything up.
And then like other players are like, yo, this geezer's crap. How come he's getting three? That's why Pogba's talking. That's why all these players are going to start getting itchy feet and thinking, what's going on? Because Alexis Sanchez has ruined our way.
I'm going to try and find something for you in a sec, but did you hear the story about that Jose came out and spoke about recently about the player and his Rolls Royce?
Did you all hear about this?
We'll go over it again. What was it?
He basically said there was a player that wanted to leave separately from the team in a Rolls Royce.
This is Jose, this.
He didn't mind if it was from like the Etihad or something, but because it was from London, he thought the player should travel back with the team.
I think it was the other way around. He said when we usually go London,
yeah, stay in London if you want with family.
Stay in London if they want. And I've seen the players at Arsenal stay in London, so I was like, oh, it makes sense. But
it was Burnley one,
yeah, because his cousins and all Burnley that, his family are from
London. Apparently it's Burnley or Huddersfield. It was one of them.
Regardless of what it was, basically Jose is trying to say Pogba wanted to jump in a Rolls Royce. First things first,
he didn't say
what
his
I would
name,
say. He's trying to. Yeah. Like, that's what. Nah, what I would say about Jose is, please just shut the fuck up because you deserve.
Nah, nah, it is Pogba because he's got like a driver that drives everywhere for certain reasons.
Come on.
So basically,
why is this like Van Gaal talking the other day about like you deserve to get all this revisionism?
Van Gaal saying how great he was. Mate, I was doing crosswords at Old Trafford, seriously.
Mate, Van Gaal's the worst.
It was that boring.
Why can't they just keep their mouth shut?
We didn't see one goal down my end for 4 months, man. I've never, as a United fan, experienced anything like that.
I
was by Stretford End, so we used to get all the goals second half.
Yeah. Honestly, it's ridiculous.
I want to go back to this Rolls Royce story because I want us to figure out which player it is that he's on about. Right?
We don't.
It's the guy he tried to make a scapegoat for so long. I don't think it is, mate, because he's talking about a player who had a good game at a game which was around 30 to 40 miles away. They were Jose's exact words.
It's a Burnley.
Huddersfield away. We won 2-0. Lukaku scored 2 goals. Lukaku's one of the 5 players in our team who owns a Rolls Royce.
I can't see Lukaku.
I can't see. I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong.
I think he's a bit too
And he said something apparently at the end of it. He was like one. He was the one of the reasons that I had to end up going on a holiday or something like that. So he's basically saying the player that pushed me out.
Oh, right. I don't think it's wrong.
Nobody pushed you out.
No one pushed him out, by the way. I'm saying from Jose's perspective. Don't attack me in the comments.
Attack him in the comments.
The thing is, you get attacked for saying Jose deserved to get sacked. Which is... It's like this revision, like I say with Van Gaal, people seem to look back on Van Gaal like, oh, he should have got more time. People say it about David Moyes, oh, he should have got... No!
Okay, a slightly more controversial one that I think everyone will disagree on, that I think everyone looks back on with rose-tinted glasses. Nanny.
Fuck off.
Everyone tells me Nanny is the dog's bollocks.
I was gutted when Nanny went.
Nanny was not the dog's bollocks.
I was gutted when Nanny went.
Nanny was not as good as people say he is.
He was a proper winger.
Yeah. He could be frustrating, don't get me wrong. Do you know what though?
We find a cross.
He needed Fergie.
Winger. He needed
Fergie. Nanny needed Fergie. He needed someone like Fergie.
Do you know what?
Flourish under Solskjaer. He'd sit under Mourinho. Mourinho would break him.
No, I know he had a season where he was mint. I know that. But more elsewhere, right? No, yeah, he'd have one mint 10 out of 10 game where you're like, this guy is... He's like him and Ronaldo. They are the two best players in the world. And then 15 games,
that was the problem.
He'd be nowhere.
People used to compare
him to like he's the next Ronaldo, and that's the pressure.
Nanny is Nanny.
He's different.
Not
affected.
When he knocked out of the Champions League, and we went down 10 men, and he was up front on his own.
He scored that back heel.
He was a sick player. You're right, he had a few bad games. But even, there was something about Nanny. Even when he was bad.
He's trying.
About him.
Yeah, he does try. He definitely will.
Do you know what was endearing about him? When he was playing bad, we were still winning games. That's the only thing. That is the only thing.
Yeah.
He was mad and he was like entertaining. He was a typical sort of mercurial winger. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
He could get behind.
Let me ask you this. How many wingers in Premier League era have been better than Nanny for us?
For us?
Not many. Beckham, Giggs,
Valencia,
Ronaldo. No, not Valencia. Let's take that away. Beckham, Giggs, Ronaldo, obvious.
For us, I'd say...
Kanchelskis.
Ashley Young.
But did he score in a Champions League final penalty shootout?
No.
Did he win, you know, like...
Robin, would you say? Not for us, obviously. But
yeah, but right, Robin, yeah, better than him, yeah.
But not many.
But in the Premier League,
No, I mean, I agree. I don't think there's many.
Obviously, you got Perez, Lundberg, who were fantastic, but there's not... You wouldn't say there's 20 wingers that were better than...
Currently, there's a couple up in there, Premier League like history. Sterling and stuff, but...
Is he a winger, though?
Nah, he's a game changer, he's different, isn't it?
Hazard's definitely a winger.
To be honest, Nanny probably, the type of player that he was, would have been good in modern day football.
Talking about Hazard, Paul Pogba's had a bad few games, and I'm going to get, he's defending Pogba again, Pogba FC, all that.
Nah, he literally just said he's had a bad few games.
He's had a bad few games. But how come, Hazard is regarded as one of these top five players in the world when he doesn't score many, he doesn't assist many, he has loads of off days, hardly shows up week in, week out. Yes, he does things that look great.
His numbers
are
still impressive, by the way.
But people talk about him as if he tucks 40, 50 goals a season.
I think with Hazard...
And when Pogba's got double figures goals, double figures assists, absolutely tearing it up, kills it for club and country.
Yeah.
Obviously for United, he's had some dips in form, but so have we. And people, like, even now, get rid of...
I'll tell you what it is, people, the way they judge, for example, Hazard is like, the way Chelsea are playing currently, it doesn't sort of suit what Hazard's got. They stick him up front with just playing off a striker. He's not actually playing his role. And then you look at De Bruyne. Obviously, I think he's just about managed to get an assist or a goal after a long time. So those players, you can be, like, injured with De Bruyne, but then Pogba, no one actually gives him... You know, like, we're not actually playing the system around him. As soon as you shut him down, there's no one else to unlock us. Like, whereas City got Silva, you got all these players in midfield alongside De Bruyne, you got Gundogan, that can actually sort of pull them out the crap. But with Pogba, as soon as you shut him down, what can you do? And I think that's what's unfortunate with Pogba. There's no one else in our team that can be that guy from midfield, unfortunately. And that's affected Pogba, but people don't look at it like that.
He has to take some responsibility himself.
Yeah, he does. He should have performed better recently.
Like, I just find it mad, like,
yeah,
the narrative with Pogba is so different to other, and it's mostly from Manchester United.
He'll never be judged fairly. Like, Pogba will never be judged
fairly. I saw someone say the other day, oh, just play McTominay, and I'm thinking, bruv, what are you on?
That's a bit
mad.
That's a mad thing to say.
Like, I mean, I think that, you know, it's not like the music's good. You can say Paul Pogba's not been good enough and still want him to stay.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been good enough. Let's face facts. You know
last
what I mean?
Few weeks,
that's you know, that's obvious. But do you want us to sell him? Absolutely not. That's a massive step backwards. You know, if you get rid of Paul Pogba, then you've got to buy another midfielder to replace him.
You got to buy a whole midfielder.
Yeah, and it's like, we just want to see the best out of him. And you're right, I think he's a very frustrating player if I was a Chelsea fan, because he's, when you've seen him on his day, how he can be amazing.
Nani's better than Hazard.
There you go.
Allow it.
Yes.
I'm not too sure about that.
Nah,
I'd say one thing I like about anyone's got to love about Nani was the games against Arsenal. He always turned up against Arsenal.
But what was your favourite thing?
Always.
Was it that goal that he definitely made
from
the side
of the
Emirates?
Oh, no, no, it was the
kick-ups, mate. That was my favourite thing.
They were fuming.
I
mean,
they're taking the piss out of us.
I remember what sort of stuff they used to do when at the top of the game.
Remember how Ronaldo,
the greatest manager of all time, moaned after the game that they were being mean to us. They weren't letting us.
And we had Rafael. Was that the game we had Gibson in midfield? Was it Rafael and Fabio?
That was 4-0 one. This was when Ronnie was there. Ronnie was on the bench that game. Ronaldo was on the bench. And I was proper pissed off. Yeah, it was. We won 4-0. Darren Fletcher, two headers.
The FA Cup one.
Yeah, FA Cup. We had two FA Cup.
And it was Gallas, wasn't it, that was trying to chase him?
Yeah,
it
was Gallas. I think it was Gallas and Eboué.
Yeah. Of course it was.
What's happened to Eboué? I heard he's gone bankrupt recently. It's a bit of a mad thing.
A lot of footballers have money issues. It's mad. That you don't... It's because they go from... You're getting guaranteed, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 grand a week or whatever you are. Obviously more now. And then... When you quit or you retire or you're injured, you've got a zero coming in. Yeah. And it's like...
But look on the plus side, go in 5 years, to they that. Might want to get into YouTube.
Reason for if your last contract, you want as much as you can get from it.
And if you had a Gucci dad like mine, he'd make you save and stuff. But if you haven't got the benefit of one of those, then I can see how it'd like... It could easily spiral out.
Best
and you're like a footballer that you never have to pay anything. You've got all the money in the world. You don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah. And people don't understand either. If you're a massively talented footballer, you're living your life like that in luxury for, 15, 20 years of your life, then that can warp people's minds, innit? And it can detach you so much from how real life is that when they get back into it and they've got to get like almost a real job.
That's why Jesse started, mate. That's why he's got a clothing brand.
Exactly. And that's why these players are doing
that's
it.
That's why you have to look after yourself.
You have to do it in a tasteful way.
I don't think you can... You have to be, you know, mad about it and embarrassing about it. But you have to look... It's good to see players looking out for themselves and starting... Because what people don't realise as well is... We'll use Jesse as an example. When he's starting that clothing brand... He's putting his family into work. He's giving jobs to his family. He's doing it. So his like people see it as like, it's an absolute image thing, and it's you know, he's selling clothes and he's becoming bigger.
It's
than
his passion as well.
But really, he's like,
it's not a bad
giving
passion.
People jobs and if you're in that position where you can put your family on,
you know, I don't get the criticism of that, especially from people like Gary Neville and that. You know, like a player starting a clothing line, he's not going out drinking 12 pints and smashing someone's head in.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? In his spare time. It's just, so who cares? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with him?
Not
doing something that's not really distracting him from his football, really, is it? He's not turning up to training because he's looking at fabrics. It's just, it's a nonsense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they were kicking off about the party that he threw like the week before, and the opening thing that he had, there was loads of fans that were turning up and he was having a moment with the fans. He was signing things for them, he was meeting them, he actually created something for the fans on that day. So instead of him going out like drinking and doing crazy stuff like that players that are talking crap about him now were doing back in the day, like, he's doing something for the fans and with his friends and his family. What's bad about that? And it's not harmed his training, it's not affected anything he's done. I just think they're just trying to find something to talk about.
I don't being funny, but if that's
just
if
not
it,
something,
yeah, something you can complain about,
something
like that.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Where is Andy?
He can't make today. He's got other engagements, but don't worry, we'll be back soon.
Be back soon. Hey, guys.
And we're kicking me out next week.
I was thinking, can you imagine if Gary Neville brought out a fashion brand?
What would it be called?
Oh,
Neville.
It'll be called like Attack of the Day, won't it?
Him and Phil.
Oh. That's what it would be called, wouldn't it? Him and
Phil with a clothing brand. Oh, man.
Is anyone else just really disappointed with Gary Neville?
Yeah.
I just don't like some of the shit that he's coming out with.
You mean as a pundit, obviously? As a player, because he's
one of my heroes.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, like Phil Neville, absolutely top bloke. Like some of the stuff he does under the radar as well. Phil Neville, he does a lot of good stuff.
I think with Gary Neville, yes. Have you ever seen Hotel Football? When he does his Q&A at Hotel Football, he's great and he's more down to earth and he's more honest. And you know, he just says it as is. I think when you get him on Sky, he's got that thing in his head if he doesn't want to be too biased. And I think sometimes he goes a bit too far the other way.
Too controversial.
Yeah, well, you know, we know he's United through and through. So you can look at Carragher grabbing the mic and cheering and all that garbage. I don't expect Gary Neville to do that, but you can be a bit honest about the fact you want United to win and that you're a United fan.
United are held to different standards, though, innit? I think if United... I'm defending him after criticising him, which is a bit weird, but just find yourself doing to your heroes. But if a United legend does that, it's so biased. But when it's Liverpool, I'm not trying to say they're a smaller club. I know it's sitting top. But if someone from Liverpool is kind of like...
Well, they are a smaller club.
Yeah. But it sounds like I'm speaking about, I don't know, Salford City.
Right, I'm with you.
Like, it's kind of people allow it a little bit. Like, if Matt Letizia has been hyper-biased to Southampton, people are like, oh, yeah.
It's like Jeff Stelling with Hartlepool. Jeff Stelling with Hartlepool, isn't it?
That's just the same concept as, like, you're not allowed to take the piss out of short people, but you are allowed to take the piss out of tall people.
Gary Neville's rant. About when he ranted, when it looked like we were going to sack Jose.
I thought he was wrong.
Did you? I thought that was like...
I thought he saved Jose when Jose should have got the chop.
Really? You think that saved Jose's job?
I think that made Ed Woodward think there's a swell of support for what he's saying. Maybe I should just...
Because I didn't mind that. I thought it was pretty bang on. Because regardless of what you thought about Jose, the way the club was being run is a shambles.
I always agree with that. Like, this is the thing that happens. Like, people come back to me now and say, oh, Jose was right. I told you Jose. I agreed with Jose on so much about Manchester United, on our board, on the way we were ran, on the way we do our business. Everything I agreed with him on. What I can't agree with you on is you pulling the wool over my eyes, all of the fans' eyes, and serving up that. Before we go, Wallies of the Weeks. I am Adam McCullough.
Can you pick one?
Can we do Wally of the Week? We'll come that way.
Benucci.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, nice.
That's it.
I was racking my brains, and he's absolutely smashed it out of the park.
I think it's the first week we'll all agree.
You know what's annoying, man? Like, Benucci is one of my favourite players. Like, I just love watching him defend. I love watching him play. And when he comes out with that, it's so weird how they defend it.
Now you know why he's such a good defender. He's usually chasing down some brown or black bloke thinking, let me catch him.
Come here.
Yeah, Benucci has to be Wally of the Week. Mate,
I'm not even going to slightly disagree.
It's just confusing, right? Crazy, so he said it was 50-50. So obviously 50 on the fan side saying that, you know, they're racist. Yeah. And then what's the other 50 that
he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that.
What I loved was, we'll get a screenshot of this because I'll find it. But when he put up, like, all the Juventus players, hashtag say no to racism. Look, hashtags don't do anything. But all of his Juventus teammates did that or something similar. Benucci was the only one that didn't on Instagram. So he just spoke about the result. John Terry liked his post.
Did it?
John Terry, to be fair, follows him from his phone. But it's just ironic.
John Terry was in the crowd. That's why.
Yeah. I followed.
I love that lad.
On platforms.
Don't give them.
He was one of the fans.
Snowflakes.
It's mad because I'm a child and follow Benucci everywhere. That's it.
I'll teach him.
Yeah. Abdul unfollowed you.
He was sitting on unfollower.com. Yeah. Like, oh no, Abdul has gone.
We better release a statement.
It's done.
You agree with that, Wally of the Week?
Yeah, 100%.
You enjoyed your debut on the podcast?
Hey, it's been fun. I've been out of swear and everything.
Have you seen Why Radio's Dead?
Bloody brilliant.
Radio is not dead. You can catch Gaz on, what's it called, Fix Radio?
Fix Radio. We're on DAB or online or on app.
I got DAB in the car.
Get on it, man. Fix Radio. We're right behind Gadio, which is where you want to be.
Is that real?
Yeah, real radio station.
That sounds like a stupid thing I would have said in school.
No. Real radio station. Called Gadio in Manchester.
What like, are you? Your dad's favourite station is. we were very stupid in school, yeah. And we don't condone
we're not
that
stupid
nowadays
anymore.
In 2019, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, thank you for watching the full time.
Tell you who does like Gadio.
Your dad.
Alexis Sanchez.
Oh, no. Hey.
He does. It's his best favourite radio station.
Anyway, hey. Gaz can't be homophobic because he is. Anyway, we're off. We're done. Thank you for watching Full Time Devils podcast. Abdullah, thank you. Jay, cheers for turning up again. Gaz, we're definitely not getting on iTunes this week. Keep it locked. Like, comment, share, subscribe. If you're watching on SoundCloud or Spotify, then leave us a review as well. And we'll see you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.